Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. Music of Johann Sebastian Bach, his Sinfonia from the Cantata No. 29, performed by organist Paul Jacobs, who will be one of the guest judges at the International Organ Competition at Longwood Gardens. I am so delighted today to welcome to WRTI an old friend and a brilliant musician, Paul Jacobs, organist. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you, Jill. Pleasure to see you again.
Yes, it's wonderful. It's a little bit too long, but I can see why, because you've been traveling all around the world, I think, and we're going to discuss that in just a few minutes. But for the most immediate present, the reason that you're in the area is that there is this wonderful competition at Longwood Gardens. It's an organ competition, and it's an international one. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. In fact, this competition, which will feature the great 10,000-plus pipe Aeolian organ in the ballroom of Longwood Gardens, features the largest prize ever for an organ competition. It's $40,000.
Oh, my goodness. Are there often organ competitions? I mean, I know there are. I guess all instruments have competitions, but I would imagine that the organ competition requires, you can't bring your instrument with you, so it's a little more difficult to set up. But so this is a wonderful organ at Longwood.
Oh, yeah, it is a wonderful instrument. And you know, to answer your question, there are quite a number of organ competitions around the world, but this is going to be a dazzling one for sure. There will be 10 competitors in the preliminary round, and these 10 competitors have been selected from, I don't know how many original applicants. And then from the 10 that we five judges will hear, we'll narrow it down to five finalists.
What will the repertoire be?
Well, it's quite eclectic. It covers the range from Bach all the way to orchestral transcriptions of the 19th century and beyond.
Well, whenever I speak with Paul Jacobs, I am amazed. I mean, he's an amazing organist, but also the repertoire and the Messiaen that you did, which was so spectacular. And you've just done some work with the San Francisco Symphony, the Lou Harrison Organ Concerto. Is that right?
Yes.
You're getting a little more melodic. Is that it? And then you did another one, Mason Bates. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Sure. Well, I was thrilled to take on tour along with the Harrison Organ Concerto, a new work by Mason Bates, who I believe is the current composer in residence with the Chicago Symphony. And this particular work actually doesn't involve the orchestra, but rather organ, chorus, and electronica. And Mason, who is also a DJ, gets up and plays quite skillfully the electronica.
Well, you know, I have to tell you something. I was speaking with someone the other day. Actually, it was for a tango festival. And they were talking about this person being a DJ. So I assumed that that was a person that sat in a radio studio and spoke into the microphone because I'm of another era. And, of course, he was doing DJ with tango records. So I see what you're saying now. So this Mason Bates is a DJ. In other words, he spins the discs. Is that right?
He sure does, and he knows a tremendous amount about computers. I could never amass his knowledge and understanding of technology. It's amazing, really.
So that's a whole new category.
Electronic music and combining it with the human voice and with the organ.
Which is rather odd because in years past, the organ was, as they used to say, the king of instruments. It could sound like any large orchestra. But now you're adding additional, it's an additional, I don't know what you would call it. It's an experience with the electronica. It's not exactly instrumental.
No, that's very true. And you think about the organ combining the ancient technology and right up to date with the computers. And so you have acoustical sounds, but you have all of this electricity in the modern pipe organ. And now with the electronica, you have some full-fledged, it sounds like sci-fi sometimes.
So what is it like? I don't want to use the word synthesizer in the same place, but is that?
Yeah, it's a synthesized sound and some very creative and imaginative sounds that Mason comes up with.
So I would say then that, of course, if you ever look at a synthesizer, I guess a big one, it looks like an organ, doesn't it, in many instances?
It can, yeah. Some synthesizers are operated through keyboards, like piano and organ.
So do you feel threatened in any way?
No, because it's definitely a very different beast.
So it must be fascinating. So is that's going to be... that's not going to be appearing at the Longwood competition, though?
No, not at all. In fact, we're going to be recording this work, and I don't have the details as to when that will be released and circulated, but it should be exciting.
Well, I would imagine so. It's a whole new field, I guess, a whole new world for you. How do you adjust to something like that? I mean, it's just something very, very, very different.
Well, you know, Jill, this is one of the joys of being an organist is that we have so much music from the 15th and 16th century right up to current, off the press, new techniques, new traditions. And I love being versatile. I love being able to play Bach and his predecessors, as well as Lou Harrison. And the Harrison Organ Concerto, incidentally, requires these wooden slabs to play clusters of notes.
Well, that's not bad. I mean, it's kind of like rapping on the soundboard or something. But this is a whole other world. I mean, they're using... computers and iPads now in conjunction with, of course, this is a whole, really a brave new world.
It really is.
Music now of Lou Harrison from his Concerto for Organ with Percussion Orchestra. We listen to the Canons and Choruses and the Finale Allegro. We hear a performance with organist Paul Jacobs and the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra conducted by Michael Tilson Thomas. We've just heard the Canons and Choruses and Allegro, which is the finale to the Lou Harrison Symphony for Organ and Orchestra, performed on the organ at Davies Symphony Hall by Paul Jacobs. The San Francisco Symphony Orchestra was conducted by Michael Tilson Thomas. Now, you being the chair of the organ department at Juilliard, what are you looking for when you have new students that come in? I mean, Are they coming in with repertoire that perhaps is a little adventuresome? Or?
At times, and I encourage that. It's important to study and master the canonical repertoire. It's very important, and that music still moves and touches the heart to this day, music that's hundreds of years old. But it is important to support the creative talent of today as well. And I do require my students to push the boundaries and work with composers and see what they come up with.
Yeah, because I think there's been a situation where there's an attitude that perhaps the conservatories are backward-looking rather than forward-looking. I mean, they're always progressing in the composition department.
Yes.
But again, when it comes to actual instrumental performance, you have repertoire that you have to master. I'm sure you must have repertoire that you have to master for the organ, which is hardly contemporary, I mean, to begin with. I mean, I'm sure ultimately you have other works there, but is the technique different?
It can be. It certainly can be. But basically, we still have five fingers on each hand, and organists play with 2 feet. And so the technique doesn't differ, but often the tonal language, that's something. The effect of the music can be quite different from music that many of us are used to hearing.
Do you ever have to prepare an organ?
Yes, absolutely. That's the thing about being an organist. We don't just sit down and play. We have to get to know each instrument, which is highly individual, and spend perhaps a full day. Now, the Longwood organ, of course, is immense. It's a large, large instrument, and it's going to take the student competitors. I'm sure they have a lot of practice time scheduled.
Well, now, so they would go in and they, what are they, the ranks that uh-huh. you're talking about?
Yeah.
They have to set them for the piece that they're going to play. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. When you're dealing with 100, 200 ranks, then they have to get to know those colors individually and mix and mingle them together. And that takes time.
And do you have to know the instrument? I mean, I would think so.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. You have to know the instrument. You have to be able to adapt and adjust to the circumstances.
I always have marveled at that. You really can't take your instrument with you when you're an organist, and it is a new experience every time. So I would imagine that when you do recitals or that you perform with orchestras, that you have to go in there ahead of time and find out what you're playing on.
Yes.
It's a big responsibility.
Well, it can be a blessing and a curse, Jill, because it's a thrill to encounter new instruments and different styles, but it takes time. I mean, you can spend 8, 12, 16 hours just preparing the organ, even music that you've played 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. You have to reinvent the wheel.
Exactly, yes. And of course, I guess every instrument, like any instrument, has a different sound, you know, especially an organ. I mean,
yeah.
It's got its own personality.
Just like people.
Just like people. And I guess depending upon when it was built.
Yes.
When was the Longwood organ built?
Well, Pierre DuPont put this particular instrument in, I believe, in 1929. And, of course, we know that his contemporaries, particularly some very wealthy ones, had a fascination with pipe organs. Andrew Carnegie, for
yes.
instance, donated over 8,000 organs in his lifetime to churches and other civic venues. So DuPont wanted to have a great organ in his ballroom.
I think a lot of it, if you'll pardon me for saying this, was to make an impression and to show how much money you have and how wonderfully devoted to the arts you are. So I think, unfortunately,
yes.
it's that way, but aren't we lucky?
Well,
right?
Aren't we lucky? Because I wish sometimes that some of our contemporary individuals who do possess significant wealth, I personally wish they would be as generous
yes.
as some figures of the past.
Yes. Now, so again, what is repertoire? Each person brings their own, or did you? There was no. Usually in a competition, don't you have a a playlist or something?
Uh-huh. Yeah, there were some general guidelines given to each competitor, and there are certain categories that they must fulfill. They have to play a major work of Bach. They have to play an orchestral transcription. They had to play some Dupré. So you cover the gamut.
I was saying Bach, of course. Dupré, of course, I guess. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I think so. Right?
You have to. But, you know, the thing about this instrument is so unusual. I mean, in the early 20th century, well, let me back up and just say that organ building until the 20th century was centered in Europe. That was the glory for hundreds of years.
Yes.
And in the 20th century, in the United States, great organ builders emerged and charted new territory. And the instrument at Longwood is an example of that. The Wanamaker organ is an example.
Well, of course, that's a very unusual.
Yes, both of these. There's nothing like these instruments anywhere.
And the Longwood Gordon organ is like that as
it's
well.
It's very special.
Very,
yeah,
very special. Now, so once again, how many contestants do you have?
Well, there are going to be 10 competitors, I believe, that's been pruned down from, I'm sure, many, many more, maybe 100. And then we're going to reduce that for the finals to 5.
And what is the – is there a grand prize, of course? What does the competition offer us?
Well, I know that the number one prize is $40,000.
Oh, my goodness.
So I might want to enter the competition. Forget about judging it.
I was just going to say, oh, my, that's really a very large reward.
Yeah, well, I hope the government doesn't take too much of that.
Oh, that's marvelous. How did this whole thing come about? Was it because they wanted to kind of debut the Longwood organ for public concerts and so on? I mean, or to give it publicity? Is that the reason?
Yeah, well, and as you know, Jill, the Longwood Gardens, this is one of the great destinations, the premier botanical gardens.
Yes.
And DuPont wanted this to be a little bit off the beaten track to give himself some privacy. And you have now this venue open to the public and this organ, which deserves great attention. And I think that this competition will bring this to many people's attention.
So how many days is it? Is it several?
Yeah, it's about a week long. The competitors are required to arrive a little bit earlier before the first competition evening. But you have a few days of the preliminaries, then there's a respite for a day or two, and then the finals the following weekend.
And tickets are available for that?
I believe so. I'm told that some of the events are sold out, but we'd like to squeeze in as many as possible.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, it's really very exciting. I don't think we've had anything like this.
Nowhere in the world, actually.
No, so it is, and it's international as well.
That's right.
And you have other judges. You have one from France.
Yes. Oh, yes. We have an international jury, a French judge, Sophie Véronique Chapin. We have Oliver Condy, who is the editor of BBC Music Magazine and an amateur organist himself. Of course, Philadelphia's own Peter Conti, Tom Murray, who is professor of organ at Yale, and myself. So 5 of us.
And none of you are going to play.
Well, they have convinced a few of us at the end to maybe slip in a number or two.
Oh, that's fantastic. Here's music of Johann Sebastian Bach, Paul Jacobs performing the Trio Sonata in C major, BWV 529.
Thank you.
from a 2005 recital series from the University of Buffalo. Music of Johann Sebastian Bach, Paul Jacobs performing the trio sonata in C major, BWV 529. Well, speaking of playing, are you going to be releasing any new recordings?
Yes. Actually, this summer, I am excited to share with you that I'll be recording with soprano Christine Brewer. We're going to put together a soprano and organ disc, and that's all the information I can give
now.
Oh,
that sounds wonderful. That hasn't been done.
No, this is quite new, and I think the rep is going to be gorgeous. Christine and I are just thrilled to be doing this. So I'm not sure when and where and what. I mean, we know where and what we're going to be doing, but I don't know when this is going to be unveiled.
You're going to have to let me know as well. That sounds exceedingly exciting. Have you ever done any repertoire with voice?
Not this way, and certainly not with a voice like Christine's.
No,
She's incredible.
I think that you measure up as well.
Thank you.
Perhaps even beyond, and your reputation is just fabulous. And justified completely. And Paul, you know, we've been friends, consider, for years. And what else is there that you are planning beyond this? I mean, are you going to be giving recitals? I know you've got to be at school.
Yeah, incidentally.
Yeah. And how many students do you have actually this year?
Sure. Well, generally at Juilliard, we have in the organ department around 8 students. It can be a little more, it can be a little less, but that seems to be a comfortable fit for the size of the student body at Juilliard, the facilities that we have. And it is a group I am incredibly proud of. They're very dear students.
Oh, it's wonderful. Well, they're lucky to have you as well. Now, again, any new releases?
Well, I did forget to mention to you earlier that a disc was just released on the Naxos label of work by Michael Dougherty, which I premiered with the Pacific Symphony last season, work for organ, brass, and percussion.
That's just standard.
it's quite a bombastic piece based. It's entitled "The Gospel According to Sister Amy," and it's a lot of fun.
That's right. Now, Michael Dougherty, where is he from? And
he is he teaches at the University of Michigan, and he is a very successful contemporary composer. I know many orchestras perform his work. And he's a nice guy to boot.
I believe we have some of his works that have been, I think, on disc now that you're speaking about
sure,
it. Yeah,
I'm sure.
So this is a Naxos, and what is it? The work is a...
It's basically, I would call it an organ concerto, but it's entitled "The Gospel According to Sister Amy."
I have a daughter by the name of Amy, but I never think of her in those terms. it's organ, bass?
Yeah, organ.
Brass and...
brass and percussion.
And percussion. Well, those are kind of... I think we've had combinations like that.
Oh, the combinations
like
that,
like
yes.
Maybe like handle or something
oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Oh, yeah, yes, okay. Absolutely.
And then what else in terms of
releases? Well, recent release on the San Francisco Symphony label, the Organ Concerto by Lou Harrison, which we took on tour, ending up at Carnegie Hall last season.
Which got rave reviews, I believe.
Yeah, that was very well received.
Well, you are always, but that really was stupendous, I think.
Oh, thank
you. People were speaking about it.
Well, I hope so.
Yes, and then what else?
Well, and I will be recording this work with Mason Bates, and again, I'm not sure of the details of how and when that will be released, but that's certainly in the hopper, and we look forward to some of these, well, particularly the recording with Christine Brewer. That's going to be lots of fun.
That sounds exciting. So that one is on the Naxos label.
The recording with Christine, I can't say just yet.
You don't know. Well, you'll let us know, of course.
I'll be sure to let you know.
So you have nothing to do right now, is that right?
Well, you know, I'm going to do some reading, and I'm working on an article concerning music and culture that I look forward to sharing with hopefully a broad readership and stimulate some thought and discussion, maybe even a little debate.
Any new ideas about where the organ is in our culture or?
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, the organ can sometimes be a niche within a niche. So it's important for organists to extend the hand of friendship to other musicians. And this is something my students and I discuss all the time. It's really up to us, the organists, to go out and ask to work with young composers or old composers, whatever, work with other instrumentalists and just make friends wherever we possibly can.
Well, you are solitaire. I mean, you're the whole orchestra.
That's right.
You know, and it's many, many centuries that we have to, you know, get over that in a sense.
That's
you
right.
Know? So I think It's a mammoth instrument, both in repertoire and in size. So I think it's really a lot, you know, to handle. With you've got enough with the organ, let alone, you know, it's funny. The Saint-Saëns organ symphony, they call it. Well, the organ doesn't appear until the last movement, isn't it, for a very
right.
short time,
right.
and you wonder about that. But I guess it was a novelty, kind of, to stick it in a symphony.
Oh, it was, and you know, Saint-Saëns, we know, was a virtuoso organist.
Yes,
some of his solo organ music is quite challenging, but the organ in his symphony is really a force. It's a
yes.
like an anchor.
It's a presence.
It's an incredible yeah. presence.
Yeah.
Yes.
True. So you are inclined, of course, to do more contemporary works. And I mean, Messiaen is not that contemporary anymore.
You know? No.
But do you think you'll be doing anything that is more conventional? Let's put it that way.
Yes, I do. And I love all music from all periods. How can one improve on Bach? I always say that. And I have some plans to record a little Bach perhaps in the next year or two. I'm mulling that over.
I don't think you'll ever do anything little, but whatever it is. Paul Jacobs, what a joy to speak with you. And I can't wait to hear just everything that you've done and, you know, all the releases that you've made, because you have been getting rave reviews. I mean, it's all over the place. So it's wonderful. And I know they're deserved. So a pleasure.
Jill, the pleasure is all mine. Thanks for all that you do at WRTI.
Thank you for coming. Our guest today has been Grammy Award-winning organist and chair of the organ department at the Juilliard School, Paul Jacobs, who was also on the panel of judges for the International Organ Competition at Longwood Gardens on June 18th, 19th, and 22nd. I'm Jill Pasternak. Until next time.
For a second listen to selected crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.